The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Good evening, everyone. This week's Parsha is Parsha's Emor. The Torah tells us, "Vayomer Hashem al Moshe." Hashem said to Moshe, "Emor el kohanim bnei Aaron. Speak to the kohanim, the sons of Aaron." The kohanim were the descendants of Aaron. "Yomat aleihem," and say to them, "Lenefesh leitam abamov. You shall not make yourself impure to someone in your nation." Kim l'shera korveilov. This is referring to when someone dies, they're not allowed to bury them, to come into close contact with the niftar, with the one that has died. With the exception, kim l'shera korveilov, this is one's wife, le'ima le'aviv, one's mother, father, Livnei Levitai, son, daughter, Ula Ochiv, or brother. Ula Chesa Apsula Krevalov, and to a sister who, Ashelahi Saleish, who is not married yet. Lo Yitama. So here the Torah is placing restrictions on the Kahanim, that even though a regular Jew can come into close contact with those who are dead, and it's a mitzvah even to help bury them, the kohanim are not allowed to. Just immediate family. And then the Torah tells us other restrictions on the kohen. Not allowed to make cuts in themselves, to mutilate themselves. Restrictions on who they should marry. For example, they're not allowed to marry a divorcee. And so forth. Why is this? Because the Kahanim were given an extra dimension of Kedusha, of sanctity, and therefore they were given an extra dimension of mitzvahs to guard and to fulfill this sanctity. In Pasuk Yud, the Torah goes further and states, "V'hakohen hagodol me'echov," the kohen who is the greatest of his brethren, "asher yutzak al reishi shemen hamishcha," which was poured on his head. The shemen hamishcha, this was a special oil which was made for anointing. It was used for the anointment of everything in the Mishkan, in the sanctuary, and all of the vessels, and all new things that were brought to the Mishkan or to the Beis HaMikdash. It was used in the anointment of the Kahanim, and in the Melech, and the King. So, by the Kohen Gadol that was poured on his head, the special oil of anointment, umilei yodei lilbeishes abogodim, plus he would wear special clothing. All of the Kahanim, they would wear Dalet Bogodim. They had four special garments. This is when they were in the Beis HaMikdosh, or the Mishkan. The Kohen Gadol had eight. By him it says, Reisha le'yifra v'godav le'yifrem. Val kol nafshish meis le'yovai lovi limai le'yitamo. He is not allowed to rent his garments, or to let his hair or beard grow long, for anyone that departs, from anyone that dies. In other words, he's not allowed to show any signs of avelus of mourning whatsoever. And he's not allowed to participate in any levaya, even the closest relatives, father or mother. Umin amigdosh leyetze, he's not allowed to go out of the Beis HaMikdosh to any funeral. Bleichalal es migdash elakov, because if he does, he will desecrate the Mikdosh, the sanctity, in the place of Hashem. Kineze Shem and Mishka Selakova Lovani Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given him a crown. He has separated him from all others, even from the Kahanim. Vahu Isha Bipsuleo Yikoch, and he's only allowed to take a young maiden as a wife. Amonu Grusha, or for example, even a widow, he's not allowed to marry. And so forth. We see from here that the Kahanim were special. They were nitzave b'harbe mitzvus. The Gemara says, riba mitzvus yiseres. They were given extra mitzvus, more mitzvus than the regular Yisrael, the Kahanim. The Rambam brings in Perek Gimel of Kli HaMikdosh, Halacha Aleph, he brings Zera Levi, the Shevet Levi, because we have to start with Levi, because the Kahanim all came from Shevet Levi. They were all the sons, the descendants of Levi. And all of Shevet Levi, the tribe of Levi, was Kodesh. In the tribe of Levi, there was one family. That was the family of Aaron. And his family had a particular Kedusha. And that was the Kedusha of the Kahanim. The Rambam writes, Zera Levi kula muvda la veris amigdosh. The seed of Levi. Levi was the third son of Yaakov Avinu, Reuben, Shimon, and Levi. They were all, his seed was separated, set aside, elevated to serve in the Beis HaMikdosh. Shnemar Ba'isa Hi Hivdil Hashem Hashevat Levi. As it states in the Torah, at this time Hashem separated the tribe of Levi. U'mitzvus Aseli Yisalevim Penuyin. And it's a positive commandment for the Levim to be free of work. That's why the rest of Klal Yisrael had to support them. They supported them in various ways. They were the matonas, the gifts that they had to give to them. For example, the maaser, the 10% of their crops. In order that they should be muchanim laveiris hamikdosh, in order that they should be free and prepared all of the time to fulfill the services, the many services that had to be done in the Beis HaMikdosh. Bein rotzu, bein shalei rotzu. And this was not optional. This was whether they wanted to or not. They had to. This was a duty. Shnemar v'ovar ha-levi hu es avedes ohel ma'id. Then the Rambam goes into what were the particular duties of the Levim, which we will not go into at this time. Now, even though the Levim officially came to this stature, officially came to this office at the time after the Golden Calf, because when Moshe went up to receive the Torah, he came back at the end of 40 days and he found out that the nation had panicked. They thought he wouldn't come back. This was through the incitement of the aid of Rav, of the multitudes that went out with them from Egypt. And they went and they made themselves a golden calf. When Moshe came down and he saw what had happened and he broke the tablets, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to destroy the whole nation, so Moshe shouted, this is in Parshas Kisiso Lamed Beis Chov Vav, Mi LaHashem Eloi. Who is for Hashem? In other words, who has not worshipped the golden calf? Let him come to me. Vayeh Sof Vayeh Osfu Elov Kol B'dei Levi. And it was gathered to him the entire tribe of Levi. Not one of them were involved in the golden calf. Then he instructed them to make war against all of those that were involved in the idolatry. From that time on, HaKadosh Baruch Hu officially appointed and elevated Levi to be his servants in the Beis HaMikdash. So even though they were only Huvdala, they were only separated and elevated from the town of the Golden Calf, but the emes, the truth is they were really elevated by themselves beforehand. How do we know this? The Rambam brings this at the beginning of Hilchas Aveda Zora. The first perek of Aveda Zora, Hilchas Aveda Zora, near the end, where he's writing that Abraham was the first one to finally recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to bring this to the world. And then he taught Yitzchak, and Yitzchak taught Yaakov. He says, V'Yaakov Avinu limad bonav kulam. Yaakov Avinu taught the teachings of Abraham to all of his sons. V'hivdil Levi. And Yaakov, yet this was many generations before the Torah was given and the Ten Commandments in the Golden Calf. He separated Levi. Uminu Reish, and he appointed him as the head of the brothers. Vayeshiva b'yeshiva. And he told him to make a yeshiva. Lelamei derech Hashem, v'lishma mitzvahs Avraham. And to teach to all of the brothers, and all who you can, the way of Hashem, and the mitzvahs that Avraham taught them. V'tzivas bonav shalai yafsiku mimnei levi mamuna achem mamuna. And not only did he do that, but he instructed his sons that throughout all of the generations, Levi should always have this office, where he will be the Rosh Hashiva, and he will teach everyone the Torah that they had at that time. And he instructed them that they should make sure that Levi will be able to do this from Levi and his descendants, kidei shelo tishkach halimud, in order that the learnings of Avraham will not be forgotten. V'yadav ha'elech u'mizgabe b'nei Yaakov v'nilvim aleihem v'nasis ba'elam u'ma shi'yoid eses Hashem. And through this, there evolved, there grew a nation, a whole nation, that knew the mitzvahs of Hashem. Until they came down to Egypt. They came down to Egypt, and the days went by in Egypt, and then Yaakov died, all the brothers died, Levi died, all of the other brothers died. And the people, at that time there were a great, enormous number of Jews, of Hebrews, they started to follow the ways of the Egyptians and to serve idolatry. Chutz mishevet Levi, with the exception of the tribe of Levi, sho'amad b'mitzvahs oves, they always held on to the commands of their fathers. U'me'aylam le'avad shevet Levi avedis kechovim. Tribe of Levi never served idolatry. So this was before yet the Golden Calf, and this already was in them. Officially, though, this is when Levi was separated and elevated. The Rambam, then in Perek Dalet of Kli HaMikdash, he writes as follows. Before we come to that. So the Rambam in Perek Dalet writes as follows in Halacha Aleph and Beis. HaKohanim huvdalu michlal halevim laveidus hakorbanos. Now HaKadosh Baruch Hu made another distinction in Israel. From Levi, which was separated and elevated, he took one family and he elevated them even more. And that was the family of Aaron. That was the Kohanim. Those were the Kohanim. And this also was for all of the services of the sacrifices, the Beis HaMikdash. As it states, Vayavdil Aaron la'kdishay kodesh kedoshim. That Aaron was separated and elevated for the kodesh HaKadoshim. U'mitzvus esei la'havdil la'kohanim la'katshom. It's a positive commandment to separate the Kahanim and to sanctify them. Ulachinom lekorban. In order, ulachinom lekarbon. Shnemar vikidashtei ki eis lechem lekechu hu makriv. As it states, you shall sanctify them because they are the ones who bring the sacrifices to Hashem. Everyone has to give a special dimension of great honor to them. Whenever we're dealing with any Dvorim Shebekdusha, that's things that have a dimension of a Kedusha, they have to be first. Livteach Beteir Rishon, this is why we call them up to the Torah first. Levorach Rishon, if there's a Kohen at the table, you have to give him benching first. Except there in another place there, it speaks if a Talmud Chochem would be before. But otherwise, if the Kohen is not a Talmud Chochem. But Levorach Rishon, little Mono Yofe Berishon, you give him the nicest portion, the first portion, and so forth. The Rambam in Halacha Yud Beis then tells us about the Kohen Godel. He writes, "Umanim Kohen Godel, we appoint a Kohen Godel who reish l'chol ha-kahanim. He will be the head of all of the kahanim. Umeishkin I say b'sheman ha-mishcha. We take this special shaman that we have." And we anoint him with it. Umalbishin, they say, big dekun gdeila. And we put on him the garments of the Kohen Godel. Shinema vakein agodel meyachom ashi yutzak. Im ein sham sheman amishchan. Now we didn't always have that sheman amishchan. In the second base of Migdash, we didn't have it. So what should we do? Marbin, they say, big dekun gdeila belvad. So then we just dress him in the garments of the Kohen Godel. And this also officially inaugurates him into the Kohen Gadol. How do we inaugurate him? Ketzad mar bin Yisrael bebegodim levish shmeine begodim apeshtim vechezev leishvim lamoche shiva shomim yema acheyem. He would put on the special garments. He would serve in the Beis Hamikdash. One day, then he would take them off. He'd do the same thing the second day, the same thing the third day, for 7 days. And then, that would be the official bringing him into this office. The Rambam writes further, Ein ma'midin kein godel, Elabezdin shall echot v'shibim. Just 1 minute, please. Yeah. Ein ma'midin kein godel, elabezdin shall echot v'shibim. When we appoint a kein godel, it has to be with the consensus of this great Sanhedrin, the great court, 71 judges. In Meishkin, I say, all right, we appoint another Kohen Godel that will be his Mishne Lamelech, his second in command. And he's called the Segan. And he will always be at his right side. Wherever he goes, the second one should be with him. And this is his honor. And all of the other kahanim will be under the command of the Mishne Lamelech, of his right-hand person. And then the Rambam writes, the honor that was given to the Kohen Godel was almost as great as the honor that was given to the king, to the Melech Yisrael. In some ways it was even greater. He was like another king. And they would appoint also, other assistants, a whole series of assistants of Kahanim and so forth. But they had, there was a whole system. The one second. In Halacha Chof, the Rambam brings, Kishyomos HaMelech, when the king of Yisrael would die, or Kohen Gadol, or the Kohen Gadol, or Echad Mishar HaMamunim, or someone else who was appointed to a high office, Maminin Tachto B'nai, his son would be the first in line for it. Or Harei LeYorshai, or if there is no son, then the next heir, according to the Seder Yerusha, according to the laws of inheritance. But that's if he's capable of succeeding his father, if he has the abilities in wisdom, fear of Hashem, and so forth, in succeeding his father. Because, as it states, Hu bona bekerev Yisrael, melamed shamalchus Yerusha, v'huadin lechol srora shebekerev Yisrael, shazeich alezeich alatzman lezare. From here we learn that all of these offices, once they were given to one person, it became his and for his seed afterwards. This was by the Melech, by David, this was by the Kain Godel, and so forth. And any office of importance. But this was on the condition that the heir was capable of fulfilling it. In Perk Hay, the Rambam writes, Kein Godel Tzorch Shia Godel Mikol Echa Vakahanim. It states in the Torah that the Kein Godel had to be greater than all of the other Kahanim. The Gemara learns that's in everything. But this was lechatchila. This was, if possible, b'nai, in beauty, b'kayach, in strength, b'esher, in wealth, b'chochma, in wisdom, u'b'mare, and in looks. Ein laimomen kol ha'kahanim naisen l'mishalehen, kol echad l'fi oshre. What happens if he didn't have so much money? Then the other kahanim had to give to him from their money in order that he should be wealthier than all the other kahanim. Ad shi'ashir yeseh mi oshir shebekulan. But ein echad mikol eilam ha'akeh, v'lekol zeh l'mitzvah. This is what was known, l'mitzvah v'lei likuvei. This is how it was, if possible. But if you couldn't find a suitable Kohen Gadol with all of these milas, but he had the main ones, he had the Yiras Shamayim, he had the wisdom and so forth, then you would appoint him. Chayev Kohen Gadol linei kovet bi'atzmai. Now the Kohen Gadol had to conduct himself also with the greatest dimension of dignity and honor. Lo yakel bi'atzmai im shara om, and so forth and so on. He had to hold himself above all of his chaverim and above all of the people. He was never allowed anyone to see him in a compromising position and so forth. Lo yichnas leves hamishte. He was not allowed to go to a public feast, public party. It's not allowed. I maybe you'll say if it was a Sudis mitzvah, afilo Sudis mitzvah, even a Sudis mitzvah. So come on, he couldn't go to a chasana, you see, because that was not dignity that he should go to a people, to a place where everyone else was eating. He was allowed to go to a mourner's house to give comfort. But when he went, he wouldn't go together with all of the people or all of the kahanim. He would walk and he would be surrounded by the other kahanim in a circle. And he would walk in the middle. Masgan, and the Sgan, that was his Mishnah Lamelech, his right-hand man, he would lead the way and separate him from the rest of the people. And there was a whole procession. The whole procession, how he would go. And then he would say to the Avelim, Tinu Chomu, be comforted. And the Avelim, the mourners, would have to give him the utmost comfort. It's interesting because when my Rebbe Tzin and I was once in a hotel in Yerushalayim, there was a function going on one evening. I wasn't in the lobby, but my Rebbe Tzin was, and she said that I heard the chief rabbi, the Sfarisha, the Rishon Letzion, chief rabbi of Israel, was coming. So she says he walked in, he had on his traditional garments, but he was surrounded. He was surrounded by all of his gaboim, by all of his assistants. See, in the circle, she said. But this is where they got it from. That's how the Kohen Gadol had to go. And there was one leading the way, moving the crowd away. Mace lay mace. What happens if a member of his family dies? And he eats achrov. He's not allowed to go to the levaya. He's not allowed to follow the oren, the mace, the coffin. And he eats him pesach beisoy. He's not allowed to go out of his house. Or min hamingdosh. Or he's not allowed to go out from the beis hamingdosh. Not only that, the Gemara says he carries on with his avoda. But other kahanim, on the day that someone, a close relative, died, they weren't allowed. And they would desecrate the avoda if they would carry on. The kahan gadol has to carry on as normal. But the people come to his house to comfort him. When they would bring him the meal, this was it's known as the Sudas Avelim, the mourner's meal. That was the first meal after someone died in his family. When they would bring him the meal, Kol ha'am mesubin al oretz v'meisiv al hasafsul. Then all of the people that were there would sit on the ground, and he would sit on a bench. Ve'inu kerei al meisai. He was not allowed to rent his garments. He would transgress a negative commandment if he was. He wasn't allowed to rent any garments. Bigdal Yifram. Not allowed. It was a Chiv Malkus. And he was not allowed to let his hair grow wild or his beard grow wild. But in general, he always had to take a haircut or a trim of his beard or whatever every Erev Shabbos. Every Erev Shabbos. By the king, it states Hamelech Mistabe B'chol Yom, every day he had his barber would come in because the king looked perfect. But the Kohen Gadol was every Erev Shabbos, and while he was a mourner, there was no difference. Ba'ish Yalei Muchan B'Migdosh U'anikra Lishkes Kohen Gadol. There was a house. He had a bais, an apartment. He had an apartment in the Beis HaMikdosh. And that was called the Lishkas Kohen Gadol. This was the apartment for the Kohen Gadol. V'tifate k'fedish yeshe b'mikdosh kol hayom. And it was to his glory and to his honor that he stayed in the Beis HaMikdosh the whole day of the Kohen Gadol. L'yetze ele l'veise b'lvar b'layla. He would only go home at night, or shor shtayim bayayim, and 1 or 2 hours in the middle of the day, during the day, to rest a bit or whatever. But the rest of the day would be in the Beis HaMikdosh. V'yebeis b'Yerushalayim, be'in azoz misham, and his home should be in Yerushalayim, not too far from the Beis HaMikdosh, and that's where he should always be. Actually, I remember we were in Jerusalem, I think it was last time we were there. They had excavated a large, beautiful home. Mosaic, stone, marble, everything, and a lot of mikvos. They had excavated in Jerusalem, not far from Har Habayis. So they were saying one theory of what it might have been, it might have been the home of the Kohen Gadol. This gives us a little background in the some of the mitzvahs and halachos of the Kahanim and the Kohen Gadol, coming from Shevet Levi. The Mishnah, Masechet Ovos, Perek Rishayin, Perek Mishnah Yud Beis. The Mishnah says, Hillel v'Shabbai kiblu mehem, Hillel emer, Hillel would say, Having me talmidov shel Aaron, you should be from the disciples of Aaron. Aaron was the first Kohen Gadol. Oev shalom v'reidev shalom. He was also the first Kohen. Oev shalom, you shall love peace and pursue peace. Oev asabrias, you shall love the creations, the people. Umakarvan letera, and you shall bring them close to Torah. Today we have a lot of talk about Kiruv. It's nothing new. Here it's with Aaron. Here Hillel said it. Aaron was already in Kiruv. Karvan Latera. Actually it states that by when Yisro came to visit the camp in the desert, so it states that Moshe spent time telling him all about the miracles what took place to Israel. So Rashi says, why? The Karvan Latera, because he wanted to bring him closer to Torah. The Maral asks, this would be a simple Mishnah. Why not? You should love peace, pursue peace. Everybody will be agreed to this. Love the people and bring them close to Torah. Now, the Maral is not satisfied with this. He asks many, many questions on this Mishnah. And we'll make mention this evening of some. Firstly, since Hillel said, you should become the disciples of Aaron by loving peace and pursuing peace and so forth, loving the people and bring them close to Torah. So to become the disciples, this means that this was the major role of Aaron. This was his main makeup. The Maral wants to know, how did Hillel know this? What does it tell us in the Torah that Aaron was such a great, he was such a great lover of peace, pursuer of peace, loved the people, brought them close to Torah? And it is true that in the words of the Chazal, in Ovos de Reb Noson here in Perek Yud Beis, brings many, many cases that Aaron would go way out of his way to great extremes to bring peace between Ish v'Rehu and Ish v'Ishtai, man and his wife. It goes to great extremes. But again, how did they know that? Where does it say it in the Torah? And if it's Teresh about there, I mean, why did the Torah leave it out? It is true we do have a remez in the Torah. We do have a very subtle hint in the Torah. And that is that in Zeis HaBrocha, Perek Lamed Dalet Ches, when Moshe dies, it states, V'yivku es b'nei Yisrael es Moshe be'arvesh mayav shleshim yom. That the b'nei Yisrael wept for Moshe 30 days. In Parshas Chukas, in Perchef Chof, Posuchof Tes, when Aaron died, it states Vayivku es Aaron Lamajim called Beish Yisrael. That the people wept for Aaron, all of the Beish Yisrael. So why does it say by Moshe the B'nai Yisrael wept, the children of Israel wept, or the sons of Israel wept, Well, by Aaron it says Kol Beis Yisrael, all of the house of Yisrael. Rashi tells us there in Parshas Seisa Barocha, by Meisha the Zechorim, the men wept. But by Aaron, Miteisha Yared of Sholem and Nation Sholem Meinish Leil, Meinish Lebailo. But by Aaron, since he was such a pursuer of peace, and he would make peace between man and his fellow man and his and a woman and her husband, Kol Beis Yisrael, Zechorim Onakevus. Then everyone wept, men and women. So we do have a subtle hint in the Torah. It's very subtle, because in one place it says B'nai Yisrael, and in the other place it says Kol Beis Yisrael. And something like this, the Torah shouldn't be so subtle. If this was the mainstay, if this was the banner of Aaron HaKohen, where Hillel says, if you do this, you become a disciple of Aaron. Second question is, four things are mentioned here. To love peace, to pursue peace, to love the people, to bring them close to Torah. What relationship do they have to each other? They seem to be independent. All right, to love peace and pursue peace, okay. But then to love people, to bring them close to Torah, they seem to be unrelated. Another question, why does he say Raidev Sholem? Be sufficient to say Aiv Sholem. Be sufficient to say to love peace. Why to love peace and Raidev Sholem and to pursue peace? Fourth question is, Hillel is telling us you shall be disciples of Aaron. Aaron was a Kohen, he was the Kohen Gadol. We're not Kahanim. Hillel's not addressing his words dafka to Kahanim. So how can we come to the Kedusha, to the sanctity, or to the special mitzvahs, or to the elevation of the Kahanim? These are the questions the Maral asks. Regarding the first question, first we'll start with the question that what relationship do these have? Three things I mentioned here. Peace, love of people, and bringing them close to Torah. How are they linked together? They're linked together because they all represent Achdus, unity. When we speak of Sholem, Sholem means Achdus, unity. The word itself means that. What does the word shalom mean? It comes from the word shalem. Shalem means something which is in its entirety. A whole. It's complete. It's perfect and not lacking. The hafechai, the antithesis of the word shalem, is machlekes. Machlekes comes from the word chelek. Lachlik. Chelik means a part. A particle. A faction, a splinter. To divide. Lachlok. So the word itself means to unify, a unity. Something which is in totality. Well, the opposite of it would be to divide its unity. Something divisible. And that's what machlekes is. Shalem and chelek. Shalom and machlekes. Avas Abriyas, to love people, that also talks of, means unity. Because someone who loves someone, he wants to be misached. He wants to come close and identify and unify himself with that person. Asim and Adover, a sign. You take the opposite again. What is the opposite of Ava? Sino. When you hate someone, you distance yourself from him as far as you can. You hate someone, you want to be misrachik, you want to distance yourself. You want to divide yourself from him. So here also it's speaking on unity. The third subject that's brought here is Mekarven LeTorah. It's also speaking of unity. not unity to the people, but unity to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you want to unify the people to Hashem, it's through His Torah. There's no greater unifying force between the creations and HaKadosh Baruch Hu except His Torah and His mitzvahs. The fact is, this is the only unifying force between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and His people, the mitzvahs and the Torah that He gave the people. So, what are we speaking here then? We're speaking when we say that you should be from the disciples of Aaron, HaKohen. We're speaking that he was the all-forceful, unifying force in Klal Yisrael, and ultimately in the world. He loved where everything should be together. He pursued it. He loved the people to bring them together, and to bring them, Lavinu Shebeshamayim, to bring them to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to their Father in Heaven. Now, the emphasis, the Maral writes, that was the job of the Kahanim and the Kohen Gadol. Because the Kohen Gadol was, like we quoted, was the Reish Kahanim. He was the Melech, the head of all of the Kahanim. It was his job to unify all of the Kahanim, Ki Ish Echad, as one force. Make sure that they're not splintering. That was the last thing we would need, to be factions and splintering in the Kahanim. And through them, they were set aside to bring Klal Yisrael together and to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Avinu Shebishamayim. Because their avoda was known as the Avodas HaMikdosh. They were the ones who were in charge, taking care and serving and fulfilling all of the great roles in the functioning of the Beis HaMikdosh. The Mikdosh was the unifying force of Klal Yisrael in the world. For example, before the Beis HaMikdosh found its place, before the Mishkan, the sanctuary, there was what is known as Heter HaBomos. Heter HaBomos was that everyone could go, Kol Echad Ve'Echad, and be makriv, bring a korbonos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in any place that he wanted to. Once the Mishkan found its place, and then the Beis HaMikdosh was Nesru HaBomos Le'elam. We are never allowed to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in any other place. You know, there's an interesting thing. The shuls that we have are actually Mikdosh Me'at, it's brought. That's the offspring of the Beis HaMikdosh, especially now that we don't have the Beis HaMikdosh. So we have shuls, we have shtiblach. You can't count the number of shuls and shtiblach that there are in Klal Yisrael. Everyone can go and daven where his heart pleases. Not so with the Beis HaMikdosh. Not so with the Beis HaMikdosh. There could not have been greater onshim, greater punishments for someone trying to defy the unity, the exclusiveness of the Beis HaMikdosh. If someone would bring a sacrifice not in the Beis HaMikdosh, but outside of the Beis HaMikdosh, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I cut him off from my nation. Shchut Echutz. Once the Mishkan found its permanent place and was no longer in its travels, and then the Beis HaMikdosh found its permanent place in Yerushalayim, Kodesh Baruch Hu said, never again will Jew be allowed to serve me outside of this place. And that's why we're not allowed, even now that we have no Beis HaMikdosh. We have no Beis HaMikdosh. Alright, so we don't daven, but we daven where we please. Why don't we bring sacrifices where we please? Not allowed to. But the greatest chema, the greatest severity of the Torah. Kodesh Baruch Hu said that will be the only place forever. That Mikdosh was only in one city in the whole world. That was Yerushalayim. One Yerushalayim and not two Yerushalayims. We have many, many cities. Besides the fact that we have Manchester, Flatbush, see? Many cities. But in Eretz Yisrael we have. There was one time it was a Machlekes raged when someone had to claim that Tzfas was more Kodesh than Yerushalayim. We have Hebron, there's Moris Machpelah. But no one would dare bring a sacrifice to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in any other place. Only Yerushalayim. Because HaBeicha B'Yerushalayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose it. And that's where he placed his Shekhinah. And he says that's where his Shekhinah will be forever. When we lost the Beis HaMikdash, the Shekhinah had to go into Golus. It says Golu Yisrael, Golu Shekhinah Imayim. But still the remnants of his Shekhinah is there. And he says his Shekhinah will not dwell in one single place until he returns there. It's with Yisrael, but not like it was then. And from there, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shekhinah is there, that's where Har Tzion is, and that's where the Mokam HaMikdosh is. And from there went out, the Sanhedrin was there also. The Sanhedrin was built in the compound of the Beis HaMikdosh. And that's why it states, Ki Mitzion Teitzei Sora. And from there went out light and brocha to the entire world. So that served as the Merkas, that served as the center point of gravity, the unifying force for all of Israel and the whole world. Not only for Israel. It says, Ish Ish L'Rabbeis Akum. Korbonis were welcome from all over the world. Zu Beis Tfilah L'Chol Amim. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, this is my Beis HaMikdash for the whole world. Now, who were in charge of this? Who had to guard that unity? Who had to protect and be shomer? Who were the shomerim of this? This was the Kahanim. The Rambam rings, well, 1 minute, these were the Kahanim. And who was in charge of the Kahanim? The Kohen Gadol Aaron. So they were the unifying force to bring Klal Yisrael together and then to bring them to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now through Aveda Zora, the unity was broken. It started to go off in every direction. Through hate, through sin, the unity was broken. They went away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu went away from them. It was Mistalek HaShekhinah. The Shekhinah departed. And distance was created between Hashem and between the people and between people and people. But through the Beis HaMikdosh, they were brought back. Because when the Kahanim would bring korbonis, this would be a kapora, this would be an atonement for the people to come back. Just as it states that when the Mishkan was built, finally built, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu dwelled there, it says this was an edus l'chol Yisrael, a testimony to call Yisrael, that Yisrael was nischaper mechet ha'egel. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave the people from the hate of the Egel. Because at the time of the Golden Calf, he left them. Now he came back. And he came back, and all the people were together under him. There's one Korban that's called Shlomim. And this had a unique quality. States, the Chazal tell us, all of the korbanos, all of the sacrifices would bring shalom to the world. But one in particular would bring shalom to the world, and that was the Korban Shlomim. And why? Because on some korbanis, some sacrifices, they were entirely burnt on the Mizbeach. So this means it was given kula l'Hashem, entirely to Hashem. This was the Korban Ola. Some part were burnt, part were given to the Kahanim to eat. This was the Chatzis and the Oshim. Shlomim, it says a part was given to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the Mizbeach, part was given to the Kahanim to eat, and part were given to the Bailim, to Yisrael, to the owners of the Korban to eat. So it says it was Shalom Lakol. This Korban had the unifying force of bringing everyone together and to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is why we find in the Birchas Kahanim, we say, Asher Kitchonu, what the Kahanim say, Asher in the Duchanin, in the Birchas Kahanim, Asher Kitchonu, and this was done in the Beis HaMikdosh, Asher Kitchonu, Bikdushose Shel Aaron, you have sanctified us with the sanctity of Aaron, Vitzivonu, and commanded us, Levorach Es Yisrael, to bless Yisrael, Be'ahavo, with love. Now what do we need that for? It says, you commanded us to be Mavorach, the people, to bless the people. Why Be'ahavo? Now that's because we're talking, the Kedusha of Aaron was not to bless the people. The Kedusha of Aaron is to bring all of the people together as one people. And that was Be'ahavo. See, that was the meat of Aaron. From here we can, is an eye-opener to what Rashi brings. He brings a medrash in Parshas Korach. You see, our friend Korach had a problem with all of this. Korach was known, he became the epitome, he became the symbol of Machlekes. He wanted to start Machlekes. What's Machlekes, we said? Division. He wasn't happy with unity. He liked Machlekes. So what did he do? He went and he gathered up foot soldiers, 250 of them. And through Loshon Hara and Rechilas and everything else, he incited them to overthrow Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron. Now Korach, this is in Parshas Woman, in Parshas Korach. In Parshas Korach, Bamidbar test sign. Pasuk Zayin. You see, first Korach came. Well, he came with this, you know, they have to have some story and something to rile up everyone. So he went and told everyone that, you see, Korach was a Levi. He came from a very, very prestigious family. But what he was bothering him is that he wasn't getting the honors that he felt he should be getting. So he went to rile up the people and he told them, look what they're doing. And Moshe, he made himself king. Now he made his brother another king, the Kohen Gadol. He's taking all of the honors and everything that goes with it, and he's dividing it up amongst the immediate family. What about us? What about us? So he came. In Pasuk Gimel it states, Vayikolu Amesha Valarin, he together with his 250 people, the Sia Edo, these were the Chashuvim of the people. I mean, thugs weren't able to overthrow Moshe Rabbeinu. Chashuvim, the Sia Edo, they were the leaders. Kriyamayr and Sheshem. And they came against Moshe and Aaron, and they said, Rab Lochem, you have so much already. Ki kolayda kulam kadeshim, v'seichem Hashem, we all were on Har Sinai, we all, the Torah was given to all of this. U'madua tisnasu al kal Hashem, and why are you taking all the honors for yourself? He had told the people, evidently, that's what it seems to the Midrash, that you also should be Kahanim Gedalim. You're also from Levi. Alright, you're not from Aaron's family, but you're Levim. You also should be Kahanim and Kahanim Gedalim. Let there be many Kahanim Gedalim. So Rashi brings, Kachom Alehem, Mesha told them, B'darkei ha'akum yesh nimusim harbe, v'kemunim harbe. In the ways of the idolaters, there are many, many different religions. You've got the Islam, you got Buddha, and you got the Hindus, and so forth. Endless. V'kemunim harbe, and they got many different bishops, and cardinals, and gurus, and whatnot. V'kulam, there's a different gifts in Rashi. I think it should be like the Sforim Acherim. They don't all come to one place. Each one has their own place. Onu ein lonu el Hashem echod. We have only one God. Oren echod. We have only one Oren that has only one Torah, Torah Achas. Mizbeach echod. We have only one place to bring the korbanos. In the whole world, we have only one God. In the whole world, we have just one Oren. In the whole world, we have only one Torah. In the whole world, we have only one altar, only one place to bring one korbanos. The Kohen Gadol Echad. And we have only one Kohen Gadol, who's on top, and he unifies it all. V'atem reishnun ish. And you are 250 people, mevakshim kula gedayla, and you all want to be kahanim gedayla. What will you do to Israel? That's not the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu works. What would happen? Moshe said, if I want to be the kahanim gedayla also, can't give it to whoever wants it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu appointed one. So that's what he told them. Korach was trying to divide. And Moshe told them, Kal Yisrael cannot be divided. We're given one Kohen Gadol, who's over all of the Kohanim, who's over the one Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is representative of all of the people. And we all know what happened with Korach Va'adosei. Korach and his followers. Now, and this is how it will be, please God, when the Melech HaMashiach comes for the whole world. So therefore, the Maral says, we don't have to have the Torah tell us that Aaron was a Reiv Shalom. He was an Eiv Shalom. He was Eivus HaBriyus HaMakavim LaTorah. That was Aaron. That was his function. This was his purpose. And the fact that he was chosen for this and he was able to fulfill it is blatant that this was his midah. This was his great quality. Perhaps there's another emes we see that perhaps that when he never wanted to take the gedula away from Moshe. Moshe didn't want to accept the task to go to Egypt to take the people out because he didn't want to take it away from his older brother Aaron. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, don't worry, he won't feel badly. Inehu yetzi likrosecho v'roacho v'samach b'libay. He'll come to greet you, and when he hears the news, he will rejoice in his heart that you were given such greatness. We see there the lev tohor, the pure heart that Aaron had. Incidentally, from all of this, we can see now why the division is the antithesis to Yerushalayim and Beis Hamikdash. That's why Chazal say, I mean, we wonder, why are we in Golos for so long? Chazal say, Al Sinas Chinam and Machlekes and Loshon Hora is what destroyed Yerushalayim and destroyed the Beis Hamikdash. How can it be rebuilt with a situation that still exists? People who think that Machlekes is good, division is good for Klal Yisrael. But evidently, the Torah didn't feel that way. So, this explains to us the relationship between all of this. Ohev Shalom, between Shalom, the love of people, and Mekarven LaTorah. It's the unifying force of Klal Yisrael to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and ultimately the whole world. And this explains to us why this is understood. These were the qualities of Aaron HaKohen. Perhaps we'll ask on this, that it seems that we might see just the opposite. From here it seems that Aaron was the all-benevolent person who was always going around making peace between everyone. When it came to the golden calf, Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Mi Lashem Elai? Who is to Hashem? Let him come to me." And it states, "Vayosfu Elov Kol Bnei Levi." The entire shevet of Levi came to him, and Moshe said, "Simu Ish Charbei Al Yerechai. Let every man put his sword on his loin. Ivru v'shuva mishar l'shar b'machane. Let him go from one gate to another gate in the camp. Behirgu ish es ochiv, be ish es reyu, be ish es krevei. And let everyone kill his brother, his friend, his relative, all of those that served idolatry." And this is what they did. It seems they were very militant. Fact is, Levi himself had a militant reputation, because it was Shimon and Levi that went and cleaned out the town of Shechem when it came to their sister Dinah. And we see the same thing by Pinchas. Pinchas was a Kohen. Actually, Pinchas was not supposed to be a Kohen, even though he was from the descendant of Aaron. But he was not going to be, because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the kahuna to Aaron and to his children, so he gave it to Aaron and his children and to those that were born later. See, Aaron and his children, and to those that were born later, and Pinchas was already born and he wasn't included then. But because of the act of Pinchas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him the gift of the kahuna. What was his act? He went and he killed with the Midianite. When the Midianite when Midian sent in their daughters to Klal Yisrael to entice them to Aveira and to Aveira Zora, to idolatry, to Baal Peor, so Pinchas was the one that stopped it. He went and he killed the Midianite, and he killed Anosi b'Yisrael, a prince in Israel, and with a sword, with a spear. We see he was very, very militant. And later on he went and made war against the Midianim. This is not a kasha. This is not a contradiction. They were given the responsibility to hold the unity of Klal Yisrael between themselves, between Yisrael themselves, and between HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, when an individual would come, be it one individual or many individuals, to destroy this unity and to incite and entice Klal Yisrael away from this unity, to divide this unity, then they would stand up with all of their might to fend off these people and to take revenge. Like a mother that would take revenge against someone that's coming to harm her children. You see, it's very nice to say, be benevolent. No, can there be anybody more benevolent than a mother to her children? But what happens if someone tries to harm her children? You take even in the animal kingdom, the most commonest animals. If you try to harm their children, they become vicious. This is the same thing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very benevolent. But you come to harm his children. You come to take his children away from him. You become vicious. And this was the job of the Kohanim. The job of the Kohanim was to keep Klal Yisrael together. And that they did through peaceful means, bringing peace amongst them and to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if someone would come and try to divide them, like Korach, or try to take them away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like the Midjanim, try to bring them to Baal Peor, to Aved Zorah, or like those that took them to the Egel Azov, it was time for them to take out their swords and become vicious, to protect the unity of Klal Yisrael, the unity of the children. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for example, by an ear nad didachas, if there was people that rose up in a city and they enticed and incited the whole city to turn away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to go worship idolatry, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you destroyed the whole city, leiterachim, do not have mercy on them. And actually, it's brought by Midian went, Moab went, and hired Bilaam. This was Bilaam's idea to incite and entice Klal Yisrael. This was his etzah, how to entice and incite Klal Yisrael by sending in the daughters of Midian to Aved Zorah. Kodesh Baruch Hu said on Moab, because they're the ones who brought Bilaam, Dor Asiri LaYobai, that even after the Megayer, they want to come and accept all of the mitzvahs, and the Megayer, they become a Ger Tzedek, righteous Gerim. He says, never are they permitted to marry into the central community of Israel, from Moab. Two reasons are given. One reason is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you tried to take my children away from me. And that I'll never forgive. So this was the job of the Kohanim. Now, we said, why does he have to say Radev Shalom? He says, Ohev Shalom, but he doesn't say, and then he says, Radev Shalom. What do you have to pursue it for? Love it. And this is very important. Many people say, well, look, I'm a peaceful person. I like peace. Yes, but what do you do to make peace? But I'll say you should know that peace doesn't make itself. Peace doesn't come by itself and doesn't make itself. Person wants to make peace, he wants peace, he has to be Radev Shalom, he has to pursue it, he has to run after it, he has to fight for it. Why? Something which is part and parcel of this world, you don't have to run after, because more or less you have it's near you. But something which is beyond this world, that you need great redifens rizus, that you need great kayach, great spurring on, great enthusiasm to get. For example, it states, we just had Pesach, Ushmartem es ha-matzois, you shall guard the matzois. The Rashi brings a medrash, which states, al tikre matzois el ha-mitzvos. Not only should you guard matzois, you have to guard mitzvos. See, matzois and mitzvos can be spelled the same. You have to guard mitzvos. Mikan, she mitzvah bo liyodei, al tech matzeno, el tekai miyada. a mitzvah that comes into your hand, don't delay it. Like if you delay the baking of the matzahs, it'll become chometz. A mitzvah that comes into your hand, don't delay it, because it'll become chometz. Fulfill it immediately. Something which comes from a higher world, that is above us. And then if you want, you have to go at it with a great strength, besides the fact that it's out of the time zones, but you have to go at it with a great strength. We learn this zrizus, the enthusiasm, and the enthusiasm and the keach of Avraham Avinu from his zrizus in mitzvahs. When it comes to something of this world, okay, you can take it in its course. But when it comes to things beyond this world, you have to go with great strength. And he says you should know that shalom is not part and parcel of this world. This world is a world of machlekes. The proof of it is because on the day that man was created, Cain killed Hevel. One day, man was created, was a murder committed. This world is known as the Olam HaPirud. It's a world by nature of division. Not mitzad HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from the aspects of the people. It states, Nor Yotze Me'Eden, a river came out of Eden from one source. But when it comes into this world, Bo'el Abba Roshim, went into four tributaries. This is an Olam HaPirud, a world of division, by nature. Machlekes is lurking. And therefore, and peace, that's something that belongs to a higher world. It states that a person is not allowed to give shalom, the word shalom, to his friend in a Beis Hamerchat, in a bathhouse, or another unclean place, because shalom is the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We see that shalom is synonymous with the Hashem. It's from the highest levels possible. Therefore, he says, you want peace, don't wait for it. It won't come to you. You want peace, you have to go after it. And that's why it states, Ohev shalom, and that's not enough. Reidev shalom. You have to be Reidev shalom. There's a saying in the world, maybe it comes from this. It says that one should always walk that extra mile for the sake of peace. Well, here he's telling you should even run that extra mile for the sake of peace. But Ohev Shalom is not enough. You have to be Rodev Shalom. And now finally, we said, why is Hillel telling us this? You should be from the disciples of Aaron HaKohen. We're not Kohanim. Well, neither was Hillel. Actually, Hillel had these qualities. The Gemara goes through this at length in many places, that Hillel had these qualities. And he's teaching others. I mean, Hillel was, if he's teaching something, he fulfilled it himself. From here we learn a great chidush, we learn something. That to have the Milas HaKohuna, to have the great spiritual heights of the kuhuna, you don't have to be a kohen. But someone to serve in the Beis Hamikdash, there you have to be a kohen. But to have the moral and spiritual heights of the kahanim, there evidently every man was given that opportunity. We can all make ourselves talmidim of Aaron. So that is why Hillel tells us, having me talmidim shall Aaron, one must make himself into a disciple of Aaron, who was the center of the unifying force of the world. Ohev shalom ureidev shalom. Not only was he a lover of peace, but he put it into action. He always ran and pursued peace to bring the people together, eves abrias. He would bring the people and unify them together, and makarv in the Torah, and then he would be makarv them to Torah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in this way, bringing achdus, unity, to the world. Thank you.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.